Hi, welcome to day four of PodAware. This is one of the two podcasts on acting. And our podcasters are KLB,
Dr. Fumbles McStupid,
and Opal Song.
And we're going to start, we have sort of a rough list of questions, and we thought we could start by talking about what do our processes look like when we go to perform a podfic, including how do we get in character? What are ways that it's like acting in theater, and what are ways that it might be different from any theater acting or other performance that we've done?
Oftentimes when I am reading a story, I will go through and I will highlight different characters and different line and different colors so that, like, when I come across that character, like, it won't just be like, wait, I'm unsure who said that, so that will come across. And oftentimes, like, sometimes if I haven't seen something a while, like, rewatch the show a little bit to make sure I get, like, the feeling of the cadence of, like, the character that I'm doing, and stuff like that. I have to make sure I'm in, like, the mood of what I'm recording, if that helps with the acting. Like, I recorded horrible, like, mutilation fic where someone cut off someone's arm, and I had to make sure, like, this is the mood for that, so I acted right. Whereas, like, I'm doing community podfic now, and I can't be, like, super depressed or anything, because, like, community is a happy, fun place. So, I have to be in the right headspace, I guess.
Okay.
This is one of the things that I do to get ready for that.
How would you say that you get into cutting off arms headspace?
Cutting off arms headspace? That story that I actually did, like, I read the story right then and was like, I need this right now. So I was, like, in the mood because I had already read it. But for depressing sort of stuff like that, I'll often listen to emotional, depressing music before that or something like that, or just, like, slip into that, I guess.
I actually did that one time. I had a noir podfic that I did in Idol Fandom, and I found this really cool jazzy noir music, and I listened to it, like, right up until, like, I paused it right the second I pressed record. And I felt like it did help.
I think it can.
But it was nice.
Like, it sets the mood, and it gets you, like, in the right thing for it. Like, I'm working on a noir thing right now. I'm actually writing it first, but regardless, like I'm watching all the noir movies and, like, getting into the attitude of it and stuff like that, so... Yeah.
Which, incidentally, when I used to be in plays, that's what I would do before I was going to audition for something. Or, like, when I was, you know, in rehearsals, I'd watch a lot of movies in that genre and, you know, kind of think about, like, the history around that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very much, when I do sort of stuff like that, I try and immerse my... If it's told from one narrator, it's, like, easier for me a little bit. Than switching around narrators. So I try and immerse myself in, like, that character.
How about, what do you do when you're recording? What's your process like as you record?
Well, as I record? So I have my recording process when I do it. Well, I sit in my room in, like, my bed because I use my iPad to record. And I have the highlight. I don't highlight an actual paper. I highlight on a PDF document so I can, like, scroll through it. And I use the clicking method when I go through and do something. So, like, if I don't feel like I got a line correct or anything, I'll often reread certain lines over and over again until I think I got that correctly and, like, edit it out. Once or twice I've recorded things non-linear, because I felt like I'd get a better performance out of that, like, to
That's
keep, like, similar things next to each other. But I haven't done that too often. Mostly I just, like, read straight through it, and if I feel like I didn't say something clearly or wasn't good in that character, I'll repeat it a couple times. And then, like, when I'm listening through, I'll have, like, choices to choose from to see how that goes. I also try and do... it all in one sitting, if I can, and if not, try and cut off at the end of scenes, so I'm not, like, jumping back in and messing up the scene and having a different tone. Like, Kate Town and I are doing a huge long story right now, Tessellation and X-Men First Class fandom. And I often will go and, like, listen to the tail end of what we just did just to make sure that my tone and stuff is consistent with what I've done before, not like I'm doing something completely different.
Do you have any theater experience?
I do. I was in a youth theater, and I did a lot of character roles. So serious acting is a little bit more intimidating for me. I often like the crazy character roles and can slip into those a lot easier than I can serious roles.
And what are some similarities and differences that you see or that you feel between the theater that you did and the podfic that you do now?
Actually, it reminds me a lot of improv in a way, because like in improv, when I'm doing scenes, like often quick pace and it's sort of like freeze and I'm jumping in and out of characters consistently. And that's like podfic for me, because like I'm recording different characters within that. So it's more like almost an improv-y sort of feel to it, whereas opposed to when I do like a traditional theater thing, I'm the same role for like the whole play.
Right.
Most of the time. I think I've switched once or twice in that too, but it's not consistent jumping around. I mean, like, I'm one character for a set time, and then I'm one character for a set time. It's not, like, jumping back and forth between two things, which I've done sort of more in, like, an improv setting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool. I hadn't thought about that. The jumping between characters and that being very different from most theater, unless you're doing, like, a one-man show or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or a one-woman show.
Yeah.
But that's true. That's definitely a big part, actually. Which, before we go to Opal Song, that just puts me in mind, because Opal Song did this fabulous podfic that had two characters in dialogue. And I was just re-listening to it the other day, but I don't know if you know this, but like a week after I first listened to that, I ended up also doing a podfic that was just two characters in dialogue. It was really hard, really hard.
It's not easy.
And I think... And I don't think I even really pulled it off. I had to use special effects in the end to differentiate the character voices, because people were like, yeah, I can't tell. Whereas yours, like, your character voices are very distinct. But I think that a lot of times doing multiple characters with narration surrounding it is a lot easier, because you can have them sound very similar, and as long as you're expressing the emotion of each character, the narration kind of surrounds it and makes it less obvious that it's the same voice for every person. Mm-hmm. Whereas suddenly when it was just pure voices, I had different tones for the characters somewhat, but it still suddenly popped out so much to me as a listener back to it, how hard it is to really be multiple people in one voice and to keep those separate in a way that, anyway, I don't know if any of that's relevant, but
I haven't done a straight-up dialogue story, but I got Record Out of Order for Podfic Bingo. And there was a community story that I wanted to read, and I was like, it was very short, and I was interested for reading out of order, having someone read opposite me, like, each time. It was two characters, so read opposite for me for each character, and then, like, do it twice like that.
Interesting.
I think there was,
and then you edited your own ones together?
Uh-huh, I edited my own ones together. Yeah. Actually, K-Town did something sort of like that, too, but a little bit different. She got drunk, read drunk for one of her squares, and she did a story where she did it once sober and once drunk, and she ended up editing all the drunk lines for the drunk character because, like, the other character sounded too drunk. So, sort of did that, too. But no, the reading opposite, I found it helpful. I found it, like, I could get into character, like, consistently more. And, but because I wasn't doing the voices side by side, they might have been a little bit more similar than I would like them to. Like, I have to, when you're doing two characters, like, in dialogue, sort of, like, you have to make sure they're different enough. So I felt like there was a difference in it, but I don't know, I haven't gotten feedback on that, so I'm not sure if there was. But it was fun, and it was interesting, to do it that way, because it was, like, reading a script from theater as opposed to, like, reading the story. So it was more like a theater experience for me.
Okay, Opal Song, you're up.
Okay. I feel like my process is not as in-depth as yours is, because I just sit down, like I've obviously read the story once. I don't do a lot of cold reading. I don't think I've actually done any cold reading. But so I've read the story and then I sit down. Sometimes I haven't read it again before I do it. Like I've read it years ago or something. So that's almost cold reading, I suppose. But I just sit down and I just start. So sometimes my tone can change from the beginning of the story to the end of the story because I get more comfortable in it and that sort of thing. But I don't know. I really like character voices. That's why I wanted to talk about, voice acting. Okay. Well, I feel sort of like my process is, you know, a little bit less intense. I don't highlight anything. I just go and I read it and I let things go as they go. I feel like my character voices develop as I read the fic. So at the beginning, they're probably not quite as distinct, as they are at the end because they sort of, you know, I get more and more into character as I read.
Mm-hmm. So you don't prepare or plan your character voices? You just kind of, like, surprise yourself with what comes out?
Yes. My, I read a lot in the Homestuck fandom right now, and my Gamzee voice was a huge surprise because suddenly, like, I was just reading and reading and reading, and suddenly there it was. And it's one of the voices that I think that and my Dave voice, like, I can actually flip into them pretty much at any time if I want to.
I have to say,
so
your Gamzee voice is a delight, as is your Dave voice.
Thank you. I really enjoy them, but they came out of nowhere. They came out of just me, you know, I sat down to read a fic with, you know, that was finally from Gamzee's point of view, and there it was. It just sort of happened. And the same thing with Dave, like, It's easier to do when the fic is from a character's point of view, especially with people with really distinct ways of speaking, which, incidentally, a lot of the characters in Homestuck have very distinct ways of speaking, so that makes it much easier. But, yeah, my character voices, like, I don't prepare ahead of time. I just go for it, and it just kind of happens.
That's a question that I've done this both ways, where if there's people with distinctive ways of speaking, like trying to imitate them or trying to just read something and have them have distinct different voices that don't necessarily sound like what the character actually sounds like. I've heard both and I like both ways. Mm-hmm. Like, but what are your feelings on like that, guys?
In Homestuck, the interesting thing just is that Homestuck, they don't have, you know, voices,
yeah.
They don't speak, but every single time I heard a voice, I was like, well, obviously that's the voice they have. So there's, I don't know, there was something about the way that you were translating the text into voice, which felt so natural that I was like, wow, she's imitating them really well. And then I was like, no, you've never heard that character speak before.
Well, I can tell you right now that my Aridin voice in one of the fics that I recorded, I had to speak as Aridin. I still can't figure out his accent. I think I gave him a different accent every time he spoke, and I felt kind of bad about it, but I didn't really want to go back and edit it. But, you know, every time he speaks, he has a slightly different accent because he's trying to figure it out. He migrates from, like, I don't know, like an almost British accent to like a Southern accent at one point. It's terrible. But, and I still can't, like, I still don't know. I would have to do something from his point of view to really, really get that. But I don't know, but that's the way that I figure out character voices. And, and I don't know, I just record.
Can I ask you something then? How?
Yeah.
Were you one of those people who, like, throughout your life, was really good at doing impressions?
No, I am terrible at impressions.
Like, where does the distinctive voice ability come from is what I want to know, because I always was horrifically bad at doing impressions, and I have to put a lot of effort into distinguishing voices at all for my characters. But it seems to come more naturally to you, and I'm wondering why. What is the magic that allows that?
Well, I've always been really good at doing different voices. Impressions, not so much. Like, I'm not good at imitating, like, different people.
Mm-hmm.
like getting that specific person, and I'm atrocious at accents.
Right.
Like, just, like, atrocious.
Uh-huh.
But I've always been able to sort of, you know, do, like speak in different ways and that sort of thing. I actually find in my normal dialect that I speak in, when I get into different fandoms and I'm reading a lot in those fandoms, I find that the way I speak actually changes. It was terrible when I first got into Bandom, and now again when I got into Homestuck, like, I want to swear all the time. It's terrible. But just
yeah.
Because there's so much profanity in those things, and I find that it comes out in my own, just my normal way of speaking. So I naturally sort of imitate, but not actual, like, full-on impressions.
Okay.
People.
So have
I
you
do that, too, when I talk, like, if I'm around people for certain periods of times or, like, in a certain thing, like, I will gradually pick up things and, like, imitate them. And, like, the way that I speak will imitate whoever I've been around frequently. And people will be like, are you, like, making fun of me or something? I'm like, no, I promise. I didn't realize I was doing that. I'll stop it.
I don't think mine is ever quite as bad as people making fun of me, just because I'm very aware that it happens. But I definitely notice, personally, I notice that it definitely happens. And I notice because it changes, like, depending on what fandom I'm in primarily, which is hilarious.
When you've had fandoms where the characters did have canon voices, did your voices for them sound like the canon voices, or did they just come out, like, showing your feelings about them, whether or not that sounded like their voices in the show or movie or whatever canon thing there was, or reality, I guess, for Bandom?
That's actually a really hilarious question, because most of the fandoms that I'm in that are, like, live action or reality, especially reality stuff, I get into the canon after I get into the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I've gotten it, like, by the time I still don't think I've listened to very many interviews with various bands from Bandom. But, like, for Buffy, I was in that fandom for a while. And by the time I actually watched any episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I already had my mental voices for these people.
Oh.
So, like, every so often there's a bit of dissonance when I watch a show, and it's like, wait, that's okay, I need to mentally reorient myself. But, yeah, so Homestuck is great because there's nothing, like, there's no speaking in there. But, yeah, so the answer is no, that I don't ever imitate people from shows or whatever, just mostly because I already have a mental voice for them by the time I encounter their real voice.
That's super interesting.
That is really interesting. Like, I've done both. Like, when I do Teen Wolf Podfic, just to, like, differentiate between people, like, Derek's voice is usually, like, lower, even though he doesn't have, like, a crazy low voice on the show or anything. It's, like, to differentiate between the two, and it makes sense in my head. Like, I'm doing a community podfic right now, and I can copy, like, Ovid's tone of speaking pretty well, but there's other characters that I, if I can't do it, I'll just, like, stick with something. And that's going to be their voice for that. Like, if I can copy the tone in which they speak or stuff like that, then I'll do that. I'm better at, like, doing character voices and changing, like, the pitch of my voice and stuff than actually doing, like, the cadence in which people speak. Like, I'm super jealous of people who can sound, like, really, really different without even really changing pitch or doing any of that stuff. That's really impressive to me. So
I try to do both pitch and cadence for people. Mm-hmm. Like, if I think somebody's more laid back and that sort of thing, I'll talk a little slower and maybe slur a little bit and that sort of thing. You know, and if somebody's really hyperactive, you can do really hyperactive and talk a little faster and that sort of thing. And it's expected, as long as it's understandable, obviously.
Yeah, I'm working on that more to make sure there. I think I have, like, a little bit of, I think I could definitely improve in that area. So
what's your recording process like?
My recording process, so I pull up the fic, And I make sure that my roommate is not around, so he doesn't feel like he has to be super quiet or anything. And then I open Audacity, and I just read. And I read the whole thing. I do the same thing about repeating myself, either when I mess up or every so often there's a line that I don't quite know how I want it to sound, and so I'll repeat it a couple of times, either until I'm happy with it or until I'm like, well, there's four different ways of saying it. I'll pick something later. And I read the whole thing. I'm not super worried about doing it all in one sitting, but I do try to stop at the end of scenes as opposed to, you know, in the middle of a sentence or something. I don't know. And then I'm done.
And have you done theater?
Have I done theater? I've done a little bit. Like, when I was in high school, I did some theater. In middle school, I did some theater. But outside of that, no. And interestingly, most of the theater I did was musical theater. Yeah, so, you know, like, and I take voice lessons in that. So I'm, you know, I'm used to working with my voice.
And how is your theater experiences different or the same as your Podfic experiences?
You know, it was a very long time ago that I did theater. Well, okay, not that long ago. I'd like to think I'm older than I am. and also, I was almost always like a minor chorus character, so I would say probably not that much. Like I probably can't compare that well. I will say that I would almost disagree with Dr. Fumbles McStupid and your assertion that it's like improv, if only because I am terrible at improv. And I'm actually really good at Podfic. So it might be the same in that you jump from character to character, and maybe I'm good at that, but I just so terrible at improv. I just want to divide the two because I've just had such terrible experiences with improv. Aww. I'm like, no, no, get it away.
Oh, no, but you'd probably have a good improv experience if you were in the right situation. Because the process sounds a lot like improv. Watching what comes out and then, like, enjoying it and exploring it as it comes rather than thinking everything through ahead of time.
That's
the joy of improv.
With the Podfic, it's all there. Like, I never have to make up words on my own.
The words are all there. The plot is all there. But there's a lot that's not there that you discover as you read, it sounds like, what you're saying.
But I need the words.
Okay. Well.
I need that. Yeah, I suppose that my process is very improv that way. Yeah, it's very sort of spontaneous. I just sort of sit down and go. And every so often I do something terribly and I'm like, oh, no. No, I have to do this again.
I wonder what that would be like.
What? It's your turn, KLB.
Mm-hmm. I can't ask myself questions.
So what does your process look like?
Okay, so I also did theater in middle school and high school. And despite never having done theater since then, I was very, very serious about it at the time, as I am about many things. And so I, the director that I had that was most influential, the stuff that he taught us, was a lot of stuff about, like, being really present and really emotionally vulnerable for your scenes. And we would just do these exercises, these theater exercises that would, like, break us down. So we were all, like, weeping, and then we'd be like, great, now let's rehearse the scene. It was, like, super just, like, blood and guts emotionally type of school of acting, I guess. And I think that really influenced the way I do Podfic because, for one thing, I ended up partly using Podfic to fill the gap in my life when I stopped acting in college, and then it was impossible to really get back into it in an easy way. And I liked that feeling of being really, like, raw in the moment and, like, feeling, like, emotionally wrung out by the end of doing a scene. Or of doing a play. just like experiencing deeply the feelings of some other life. And so I feel like when I start to prepare a podfic, I don't really do any prep for, I don't read it ahead of time, except for I'll have read it once to choose the story, you know, or maybe more if I love the story. But I won't, once I know that I'm going to podfic it, I will not read it again until I am in front of a microphone. I'm very superstitious about that. Like, I'll ruin my, like, immediacy of my good performance or something if I try it first. And I will sometimes do some thought into character voices, but less and less, kind of, because I was spending so much time doing so many retakes trying to get the voice of each character exactly how I wanted, and I would do a line like 20 or 30 times to try to make the voice work, and it's just not something that comes easily to me. And then it would just mess with everything because it would take forever to edit. And then when I finally did edit, the pacing would be all weird because it wouldn't have like emotional flow, because I would have gotten out of the moment so much by repeating and repeating and repeating each line. So I don't do that as much anymore, and I think my character voices have started to slide together because of that. When I do prepare, it's often like when I did my first Glee podfic, well, my second one, I would like watch a scene from Glee and I would kind of repeat the lines after each of the characters just to kind of feel how it felt in my mouth to say it in a way that like imitated what they did. And then I wouldn't try to actually imitate them. I would kind of throw that out, but I'd take any lessons I could get from like the feel in my mouth of doing their character, and then kind of listen to myself and try to capture like my feelings about the character. And then, I don't know, let it go without worrying too terribly much about the voice from that point on, knowing I kind of had a touchstone for the approximate thing that I wanted from it.
And that's then, a good description. I like the way you said that. I like that.
Thank you. Which part?
Oh, just the way you said, like, you get a feel for what the character sort of would do, and then sort of, like you said, you get a touchstone for it and then throw it out and then just do, like, your feelings for the character, like, the way you feel it should be. Like, that's sort of what I do for characters that I can't imitate well, and I like the way you describe that. It's a very good... I'm not good at putting things into words a lot of times, and that was very eloquent, so I appreciate that.
Another thing that I have done sometimes is I'll have a touchstone line for a character. I did this one long, like, 9-hour podfic that took me, like, 9 months, and there was this one character, well, Frank was one of the characters, but my Frank in that one was very particular, and when he first shows up, he says to Gerard, like, "Hi, I'm Frank," and when I...
Oh, wait, which podfic is this?
Forever Now.
Oh, I love that!
Oh, thanks. So whenever I had a Frank scene, if I felt like I couldn't get the line, I would be like, to myself, like, "Hi, I'm Frank," and then I would try to do the line again, and sometimes it helped me to, like, do a really easy, familiar line and then jump straight into the next line I wanted in the character voice. Like, it helped me have some consistency. So, yeah, but and the other thing I sometimes do for prep, because I'm reading a story, I've read stories before by November Smith, and she is amazing and one of my best friends, and also has a very big vocabulary. So sometimes I will skim ahead just so I know which words I need to look at the pronunciation of ahead of time, so that I'm not in my closet recording and having to quickly go to howjsay.com and figure it out, which happens often enough anyway. Then when I record, I just try, and I'm not good at it, but I really try to just, like, stay in the moment and, like, feel the character's feelings and, I don't know, get lost in it as much as I can. And I feel like the times that I'm really happy with my performance are the times when I was really present in it. Like, we're going to talk later about reading porn, but the times that I really feel proud of my performance in a porn scene are not times when I was thinking about being sexy. It's times when I felt like the writing was really sexy, like I felt really turned on by that experience, and that I feel like you can hear more than planning ahead. And I feel like that all ties back into the way that I was trained in theater. Like, it was all very, like, be here, experience it. The audience is seeing, like, whatever it is inside of you. And you're not, like, crafting a character so much as you are, like, channeling your feelings into the shape of this character. And to the extent that the feelings you have are true, that's the extent to which the audience is going to connect with what you're seeing. And that's what I kind of try to do with my podfic. That's my acting podfic thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know that I can't describe it quite the same as you, but definitely I don't put as much thought into it, but I definitely, that's sort of the way I do it. Like I channel more, I try to feel what the characters are feeling more than planning out, oh, this person is going to say it this way, mm-hmm. and this person is going to say it this way. I definitely just sort of go,
yeah,
and just let it do what it wants.
That's I try doing that too. Like I acted with my brother in a lot of things, and like that's what I do. I'd like really try and feel what they're feeling, and like get into it. And stuff. My brother like was taught like the opposite, was that you should be like that. Like apparently like feeling it so internal yourself is like apparently taking away or something. I don't get it, but whatever. But he was always like, what are you doing? You're doing it wrong. Like, bunch of, but no, so I try and do too. And like feel, I feel like I can't get it across unless I'm feeling what they're feeling. You know, I wouldn't say I'm like a tremendous actor in any like, sense of the word. So that,
but it's
when
like,
I'm feeling it comes across.
Yeah. It's not about always being a tremendous actor. It's about, and especially with podfic, you know, it's not about being polished. It's about, like, having this experience and then sharing it. And that's what I want in a podfic, usually, when I'm listening to it, more than I want a really, like, fancy and polished and professional level. Like, I want to feel like the reader is there with me, and I want to feel, like, emotions and presence from them. And that's the kind of podfic that'll take my breath away, when I feel like they're there. And them being there helps me be in the story there more than I could otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. Those are my favorites. When someone is having fun doing something or really emotionally there, it comes across.
Yeah.
And, like, you can tell when that's not there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that said, that I hear that, like, Chris Colfer is the opposite, and he's very, like, you know, all about, like, making stuff external rather than feeling the feelings from inside. And I totally feel feelings off of Kurt on Glee. So I'm mm-hmm. not saying the other way doesn't work. It probably works fabulously. I probably am wrong. And there's probably some podfic readers who do that. And I think they're doing the other thing because they're very good at doing that. But I guess, anyway, to me as a performer, it's always, it's got to come from the inside, because that's the way I was taught, and that's the way that feels right. With the, like, benefit that I get super, like, vulnerable about my, like, super emotionally wrecked about my podfic, and I'll just, like, sit there and, like, listen to myself in editing and just, like, feel all sorts of, like, I don't know. I used to sit backstage and cry. I would just be like, I'm never going to be good enough to express this part, oh God. And I feel like I carried some of that with me into podfic. I'll listen to, you know, a line reading and I'll be like, why? But then I'll listen to another one and I'll be like, maybe I showed something about that character that I couldn't have put into words explaining it in meta, but now it's there in my reading. And now, or maybe I showed something about myself that people are going to listen to it and kind of understand, even if they don't really know me, they're going to have shared in that experience. And that's kind of beautiful. So that's the end of my sentence.
I think we sort of covered character voices versus cadence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did. And we talked about like a combination of them being ideal, I guess, is like what I think.
Yeah.
Is in there. So,
yeah, because there's definitely a time for, you know, not wacky character voices where you just need to sort of subtly differentiate. But there's also
yeah.
definitely a time for, you need that very distinct separation.
Yeah, like, I guess something I've done, I did the Ghost Styles AU. Oh, I don't, Moon Fever AU. anyways, like, for that, like, it was that the whole tone of the reading was, like, very quiet and calm, and there was just, like, little differences between the voice, like, whereas opposed to, like, the Community and, like, Avatar fix I'm working on right now, which, like, one is based off of a, like, over-the-top cartoon, so yes, character voices
yes.
everywhere.
Yeah.
Community, like, I have to be the dean, if you've seen Community, like, just, like, yeah, that's character voices everywhere, too. So there's, like, a time and a place for, like, more over-the-top and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And different readers, too. I know that different readers, like, there are some readers that I wouldn't necessarily want character voices from because they're just their style doesn't require that.
Yeah. So.
I feel like very few readers, like, even if you don't do a distinct, super distinct voice, I feel like very few readers, like, every character sounds interchangeable because you have feelings about the characters,
yes.
you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's
so
very,
whether
very
you
true.
Craft it or whether it just comes out because you're expressing your feelings about the story when you read and you feel differently about the characters, it's interesting because some people are, like, you know, described frequently as doing voices, and when I first saw some people in my fandom described that way, I was like, wait, I do voices, don't I? And then I was like, I guess I don't, in a way. And yet, I have such distinct feelings in my mind about the character voices, whether they come across or not, you know? And I think doing voices is a scale. And everyone is somewhere on it. Very few people just, like, I mean, unless you're reading a monotone, you're going to put something into each character that's different.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I think, like, when they say doing voices, they're referring to, like, maybe very, very, like, every voice is going to be, like, distinctive. Like, if you're having a conversation between two people, like, the emotion will be different from one for the other. But then there's, like, over-the-top sort of character voices, like, ones that are just, like, maybe someone does, like, higher, way higher pitched or way lower pitched, and, like, the difference is that really makes them stand out more,
mm-hmm.
I guess, like,
also, some people can achieve a consistency. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Like, I know what my voice for each character kind of is, but it's almost a feeling or, like, a touchstone line, you know, more than, like, a voice that I can get really, really strong. And so some lines sound closer to it than others for whatever reason. They just fit it better. And so it's not necessarily as consistent, and some people can be extraordinarily consistent from line to line.
Yeah, I had, that's why I like the crazy over-the-top ones, like if I'm doing Avatar or something like that, because it allows me to distinguish them more because I can do more cartoony-style distinctive voices. So, like, it's not like, here's one that's, like, a little higher pitch, and here's one that's, like, lower, just a little lower pitch, like, maybe not as easy to distinguish. When I'm doing stuff like that, I can do a lot of distinction between them. And I
mm-hmm.
think it's easier to keep them consistent when they're so far different from each other.
Yeah.
So.
I definitely found that going into the Homestuck fandom from all my other fandoms, because Homestuck, they're just, like, the way they talk. I'm using talk in quotation marks because
mm-hmm.
they don't actually talk.
The way they,
but
right,
like the
yeah.
like the way they're written, each one is already so distinctive that it's very easy to keep them separate in my head. Like, it's very easy for them to suddenly have a character voice, suddenly, you know, have something that I can really get into, as opposed to recording like a Bandom fic or a Harry Potter fic,
right.
where it's much, you know, it's much more difficult to do that because these characters, you know, they might, they don't have that over-the-top quality
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah, I agree. And as I said before, like, I'm much more comfortable in, like, the over-the-top roles and stuff like that. So I feel like that is why it's easier for me to keep it consistent and stuff with stuff like that. So.
But let's talk about acting porn scene.
Well, I have a hilarious story, actually.
Okay,
let's
hear it.
The first comment I ever got on a podfic, like, podfic doesn't get very many comments, so the first comment I ever got on one was, you make really good porn noises. So.
Best comment.
What?
That's a good comment.
It is. I was very, very proud of that comment. I still am. as such that I'm telling you guys right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's sort of been a thing for me that, you know, if nothing else, I can do good porn noises. So.
I wish that listeners would feel more free to comment on that sort of thing. Cause I feel like when you do something porny, that's what you want to hear. Like, that's the reassurance.
Exactly, yeah.
You want someone to be like, it was hot. I got off to it. Good job. But no one really says that. Unfortunately. No, well, every now and again, I guess. But that's the best comment.
It really is because, I mean, that's the point of the porn, kind of.
Yeah, and there's something very sexy about performing porn and knowing that, like, it's hot for you and it's going to be hot for the listener. No matter, I mean, someone did this great post on kink bingo and porn and, you know, the various ways that Podfic connects to fic, but in this way, it's like long distance anonymous phone sex. Like, I don't know, there's just something really cool about it. And I dig it. I dig that part of it. And I wish people would talk more as listeners to us readers about their experiences of that. But I guess that's getting off the topic of the acting side. So, acting porn scenes, how is it different or the same as acting non-porn scenes?
I can tell you, I go at it the exact same way. Like, I mean, no preparation, no whatever. I just sort of keep reading and, you know, get into it as I get into it. So, I don't know. I've been making weird noises ever since I was a kid. So these noises aren't that far off, right? So I don't find it all that hard. Every so often I'm like, you what? What kind of noise are they making? But, you know, I think it's fun. It's fun to sit there and, you know, make porn noises at your computer. I'm sure my neighbors think I'm super strange.
It's actually really nerve-wracking for me. I live with my parents, and they're super, super conservative.
Oh, goodness.
So, like, really, really conservative. Like, I was raised super religious. Not much anymore. So, it's, like, nerve-wracking. Like, a lot of the time I get to record. Our house echoes a lot. So when there's people home, I can't really record. So a lot of the time I get to record is either when they're gone or, like, when they're asleep. So I don't it probably comes across, like, I would like to find a place where I could record without that, but it probably comes across because, like, the whole time I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Are they going to walk in? Are they going to hear me? What's going to happen? Oh, God, oh, God. Which probably is not the intensity, really, the right type of intensity they want to add to that scene. But, yeah, so it's super nerve-wracking. But I've done it a couple times when, like, people have been gone, and it can be fun. I like it. I think, like, you've said already, I don't really go at it from a different perspective. I just, you know, go at it. I'm like, okay, we're transitioning to that. And I feel like a lot of the stories, when you are emotionally connected to them, they have, like, that transition into that. So, like, it's not, so it's easier to get into it because it's not just like, well, it could be just like, we're going to cut the scene and here's the sex time now, but there's, like, the foreplay and stuff that goes before that, and, like, the getting the part that helps, like, so it's not so sudden and easier to build up to, if that makes sense. Am I sounding coherent?
No, yeah. That works.
Okay.
It definitely, yeah, I'm not sure I've ever recorded a straight up PWP, like, where it's like, bam, in the middle of a porn scene when we begin. But I've definitely recorded a lot of stuff that is, you know, there's lots of porn in it. And it generally, you build up to it, and definitely, you know, you get more and more and more into it. Like, the characters are getting more and more and more into it the whole time. So, you know, I follow the characters in that sense.
So you were talking about collaborating and doing porn together. So would you two be reading opposite each other or something when you're doing this?
Let me tell you, like, about my history with collaborating in porn, because basically what happened was there was some meta at some point, I think on Fail Fandom Anon, and I was like, and they said something along the lines of, blah, 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 reading porn is gross, weird, like, don't you realize people are going to hear that, whatever. And I was like, you know what, I so realize that people are going to hear this, and I so want people to hear this, that I'm going to record with my friend in the same room, sitting next to each other, like, while in physical contact, you know, and it wasn't weird. It was so much fun. It was awesome.
It is hilariously fun.
It wasn't weird.
I've done it.
It wasn't particularly hot, actually. It was somewhat less hot than, like, recording by myself. But what it was just so much fun. And I didn't feel embarrassed at all. I felt really proud of us for making this cool, like, thing together. Anyway.
No, I've definitely done that as well. In fact, I have two Avengers fics that I recorded, and I recorded them with friends of mine who aren't podficers. And the one just, like, I mean, she might have done a cold read of it, actually, at that point, like, and it was a Tony Jarvis tentacle fic or something.
Ew. And awesome. I need to find this later.
Well, it's on my AO3 account. She read Jarvis, like, that's all she read, and I read the narrate, because it was all from Tony's point of view, I read the narration and Tony, and it was really neat. And then later I recorded with, three other people, actually, we recorded, a Hulk orgy fic, so, and KLB, you're right, it's not really hot at that point, like, not really, but it's absolutely one of the funnest things I've ever done. So, yeah.
And it's not like, at least in my experience, it's not mocking. It's not embarrassing. It's not like, you know, oh, this is awkward but giggly. It's like, you know, it's serious. Like, at least when I did it with Bess, we were like, I felt like we were being very respectful of the characters and the fact that the characters were really into each other and having this, like, they were, like, having sex for the first time, and it was, like, very respectful and very intimate in a certain way, but it wasn't particularly sexual, weirdly, the experience, but it was fun, and it wasn't, like, making fun of it fun. It was, like, serious fun.
Mm-hmm. This reassures me, because I'm going to be attempting collaborating in a porn scene for the first time ever soon, so.
Well, let me say something else. I have someone, that's partly just a friend that I read with. I have somebody else that I am hoping to co-record podfic porn with at some point. And she and I have sort of a history and chemistry. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was hot. And that would be great, too. I, you know, I don't feel like it has to be not sexy in order to be fun and wonderful and cool and legitimate and not embarrassing. I just, in this particular case, it wasn't. But if it was, that would be even awesomer to me.
Yeah, but it's not something that people need to be afraid of if they're like, oh no, is this going to get awkward?
Yeah, it's only going to be that way if that's the relationship you already have with that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't have that relationship with that person, it's not going to feel that way, in my experience. I said, I guess you could discover, like, secret chemistry that hadn't come to light before, but, you know, it's either there or it's not there.
that sounds like the plot
of
a
fic,
honestly.
It sure does. Somebody go write that fic.
They have, I think, an anime that follows, like, voice actors who do dirty voice acting things, or it's like a manga, and then they fall in love through doing dirty voice acting together. So. It sort of already exists, but it's not a fic.
Yeah, if it doesn't have Kurt and Blaine in it, then it needs to be redone with them.
Oh, Kurt and Blaine.
Oh, Kurt and Blaine. Do we want to talk about, like, yeah, the acting part of it? I don't know. I just feel like I love it when it gets to a porn scene. It feels so freeing to me as an actor because you can get really intense and into it. And you're never like, should I be holding back right now? You're just like, no, it's porn. You know, they're not, like, being all controlled and deliberate. They're, like, building up to an orgasm. I can go for it. And I find that very freeing and lovely. I do way fewer retakes in a porn scene usually. And I'm usually much happier with it the first time. It's like faster to edit. It's just really nice to me.
I've noticed that too, that when I do scenes like that, oftentimes like it goes smoother and the intensity is there and that I don't have to like edit as much and stuff like that. And there's just like a build up there that happens like naturally. Those like it's funny, but it's like sometimes easier. Well, I don't know if I'd say easier. It just goes smoother than other things that I do.
Yeah. You know, I find that of intense scenes in general, though. If a character is, like, really, really upset, it's about as smooth and easy for me as if it's a porn scene. Just mm-hmm. even, like, in an emotionally intense scene, there's less to think about, in a way, because I just start feeling the emotion and I let that pull me along. Rather than if there's not, like, a super strong emotion and then I have to kind of, like, navigate my way through it a little bit more deliberately, like, by thinking instead of feeling, sort of.
I'm going to say, like, I should just call you all the time because and say, like, I don't know how to explain this. I have feels. I don't know how to put into words because you're so good at it. You're just like, oh, these are all the feelings I have about Podfic. And, like, you're just pulling them from my head like magic. And, like, making them make sense.
Oh, I'm glad that I have some skill. I have a skill.
You have lots of skill.
Well, thanks. What are your thoughts about ways that Podfic is very different from theater?
I, as I said before, like, in Podfic you're doing so many characters and stuff like that, whereas, like, in like, even when I've been cast as, like, a couple minor parts, like I'm that part for the whole time. I'm that part. I'm not jumping back and forth between different parts. So it's like theater is like very consistent. Whereas like, a Podfic, you're jumping back and forth, between the things. Also you have to, focus on, your voice a lot more because like in theater and stuff like that, you rely on your body language and your facial expression and other things to also get it across. But where I'm podficking, all you have is your voice. So you have to use it wisely and make sure, like sometimes I'll go and record something and I felt so intense, but it wasn't like I'm used to theater acting where a lot of that comes across in like my body language and stuff like that as opposed to my voice. And I'll have to go back and re-record it because I wasn't utilizing the voice as much as I should have.
That's really interesting.
I know that we haven't brought up the fact that in Podfic, a lot of the time, except for the couple dialogue-only Podfics, there's always a narrator in a fic. Like, there's always some sort of through thread. Like, it's never just the dialogue, except for in those couple of dialogue onlys, which means that you have to be that narrator, which is like a step outside. You have to be the storyteller as opposed to just the character. So I know that, like, I mean, as I said, my theater experiences have been quite far gone. Like, I mean, it feels super far away. Not that it is super far away, but it just feels that far because, you know, I didn't have that really close relationship to it.
Oh, that makes sense.
I really loved it, but at the same time, I was always the chorus. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be, you know, super intense when you are the chorus and when you are terrible at improv, so you can't take drama class. So, you know?
Yeah, I see. So you were traumatized by improv for keeping you out of drama class.
Well, no, it was actually my high school only had drama class in grade 10. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then I was out of luck for the other 2 years. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of improv in my drama class, and, you know, I did not enjoy that. It's like, give me a script. Give me words to say. Mm-hmm. I'm good with words to say.
We did, it sort of relates to Podfic, I guess. One of the most interesting exercises we've done was they gave us dialogue-only scripts, and that's all it was dialogue. There was no, like, what scene is this in, like, what are you doing, and you had to interpret it and read it a different way to get the scene across. So it was sort of improv-y in that, like, you had to learn to, like, change your voice enough and, like, indicate what you were doing for that sort of thing.
Yeah, let me tell you a story about that. Once upon a time, that's called an open scene, or at least that's one thing it's called.
Yes, I think so.
Once upon a time, Lady Fox came to me and said, hey, if we were going to do podfic as a category in a reverse Big Bang, how would we do it? And I said, why don't you do an open scene, and like some open scenes, make them available. The podficker will record the open scene in whatever way that they choose, and based on the choices that they do for that open scene, someone will write a fic. And they didn't fully go with that, but that was where the idea came from that theater exercise. And they did end up having podfic as a category in Bandom Reverse Big Bang.
That's awesome.
The only thing was people tended to write their own scenes and then do them, whereas I was kind of hoping there was going to be a stock, like five scenes, and so people would like double up and be doing the same scene as each other but do it so differently that the story that came out of it was super different. Mm-hmm. But that was, I think, might have felt too constrictive to some people. But yeah, I love the idea of open scenes, and I love the idea of tying that work into podfic, because I feel like it's very...
Yeah, that...
It's very pure. Like, very pure acting.
Yeah, and that feels like something that I could do with all of my scared of, you know, improvness. That feels like something that I could definitely do.
Yeah, I would be interested to see if they did that again, because, like, that's just so fascinating to me, the way, like, I like when people repod projects, because it's so fascinating to see how different people's takes are on things like that. It just, it's endlessly... fascinating.
I had a really interesting experience with repotting once, actually, because when I did multipodicity, I was super into Bandom at the time, and there was only one Bandom podfic available. And it was this one where the reader, who's fabulous, I miss her from Podfic Fandom, to NAONH3CL2, I believe.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great. Anyway, she had done it basically the way that I would do it. So I had to try to figure out how I was going to do it differently from her. Like how I could make a different acting choice than her, even though my natural inclination would have been to do it basically the same way. And I mean, really, if I had just played it straight, I'm sure there would have been subtle differences. But I ended up, like, doing some thinking into the character and making the narrator of this third-person fic sort of a character, and then making that character different from the way she had read it. And I basically made the narrator a character that was like a fangirl, and made myself an imaginary scenario where this fangirl is like telling the story of the season of Project Runway with all the Bandom characters to her coworkers at lunch, and like being all excited and fanish and trying to get them into it with that sort of like breathless fanish excitement that you get when you talk about your favorite shows. And then did the whole reading with that in mind. And it was fun to be pushed to make an acting choice that would be different than my first acting choice. That's the only time that's happened, too. Because normally I'm just like, this is how I feel about the story. I am going to express this in my reading. And I wouldn't think about doing it another way, because first I have to get out the way I feel. That's the most important thing.
And sometimes, sorry to
Please interrupt me, because I literally talked for 15 minutes straight in the last podcast. I had to edit out like 5 minutes. There's still a 10-minute chunk of just me talking. So please interrupt.
Just sometimes when you record something and then you listen to it back in editing, it comes out different than the way that you thought you recorded it.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of times where I'm like, oh, wait. And sometimes I don't notice until I listen to the whole podfic. Like, I'm just on my way to school and, you know, I'm listening to podfic and I've decided to listen to my own and I'm like, wait, oh, that came out different than I thought it did.
Sometimes it's a really good surprise.
No, it's most of the time a good surprise. I'm like, well, I didn't know that's what I was putting in there.
Yeah.
It's just always startling, because it's like, wait, that's not what I thought I did, but it's very good. It's just,
Yeah, there's definitely like a discovery process in editing. You discover things about yourself, and you discover things about your feelings, you know, about why you connected to the story. My biggest thing that sticks out for me is in this last story, I love this story, Anatomy of a Fall. It's very famous in Bandom, and I baited it, and so I know it very, very well. I, you know, it grew up right next to me. I'm like its godparent, but it wasn't until I was reading it, and it's not when I was reading it. That's not true. It wasn't until I was listening back to it in editing that I noticed how sad it was. Somehow I had been focused so much on other stuff that the mood, the like incredible melancholy of the story, especially at the beginning, had completely escaped me. And I was listening to it in editing, and I was just completely bowled over by this discovery about the story and about something that I thought I knew really well and about myself and my connection to it, I don't know, and about my friend who wrote it. I ended up having a conversation with her about it. I was like, the story is incredibly sad. And she was like, yeah. And she talked to me some about, like, her mindset when she was writing it, you know, and where that came from. I love that discovery process, and I love that side of podfic that's really absent from theater acting to me. You live it, but you don't get to hear it back and examine it and study it and relive it from a greater distance the way that you do when you're editing your own podfic.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that because, like, when I did theater, I would get notes back from the director, but yeah. That's, like, another thing that's different about podfic is that a lot of the times you're editing your own thing and you are your own director and you get to choose the direction in which you're taking it, which, like, in theater, that's not really, you have some say over it, but if the director's like, I want you to go in this direction with it, that's what you do. So you have complete control over it, which is nice and sometimes daunting, so...
Yeah. And another thing that I was thinking about, I actually had control on my little list of stuff I was going to talk about, because you do have incredible control, which is awesome. You kept talking about being one of you. I guess Opal Song kept talking about being in the chorus. You're never in the chorus in podfic. You're always the main character.
No, I really like.
You're always every single character. Like, you're the main character. You're the funny character. You know, like, you get to be everything. There's no, like, you can't be typecast. You get to, like, be all the parts of, all the things you can be, all the parts of you expressed mm-hmm. through these different characters, which there's something, when you think about it that way, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to be able to stretch yourself, to be able to say, okay, I have to be this very melancholy, very sad character, you know, in this fic, and just be this very melancholy, sad mood here. And yet over here, I need to be, you know, a very, very wacky character mm-hmm. that just is off the wall. And mm-hmm. sometimes you have to be characters that probably not that different in the same story, but, you know, maybe.
Often, I've had characters that were very different within the same story. Especially mm-hmm. for long ones, for long stories. I mean, I've done, like, several DS stories where you switch back and forth between, you know, being Toppy and being very, like, submissive and vulnerable and, like, back and forth and back and forth. And that's, like, it's cool to be both. It's cool to be both sides of every conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also cool because you know exactly... how to play off of the other side of the conversation because you are both sides.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This makes me want to talk about Theatropod at this point, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah.
Because Theatropod came out of me thinking about the role of directors, how I missed being directed in a certain way. I loved my director in high school. My main one in high school theater who I talked about who, like, changed my life in view of theater and probably my life even in a larger sense, taught me to be very, like, open to things and, I don't know, a lot of the ways that I am feel, like, connected to the theater training that I got from him. And so I kind of missed having a director to, like, push you. You know, it's great to have control, but sometimes you're like, what if someone were listening and they pushed me? What would they push me towards? Like, what could they help me discover about my own, to get super fancy, instrument as an actor, you know, that I might not be seeing? How could they help me be more present, or how could they help me see, like, achieve new things and surprise myself in a way that sometimes you might develop a blind spot if you're every single role and not see something that you could do to improve. And I've always been very adamant that I'm not interested in that from a listener. Like, I don't want concrete from a listener because I don't, they're nobody to me. You know, I don't trust them to tell me how to be. And I, you know, if they don't like it, I understand that and that's fine, but I don't want them to then direct me towards what they want. Why should I listen to them in particular? I'm already listening to somebody I trust, which is me and my friends who I might have beta it, or, you know, other podfickers who I might have beta it. But the idea of a director was very different to me. The idea of someone who I did trust and who it was their project, not mine, and so they could tell me what to do. Or it was at least a collaboration. And that's what Theatropod came out of. So it's really a challenge where some people, six directors, have signed up and they're going to, in a couple of weeks, put out casting calls and do theatrical versions of theater-like podfics. And, you know, part of my experience with directors was going to rehearsal and rehearsing and then having the director give me notes. So that's built into the process, that in Theatropod, the directors will hold rehearsals probably over Skype and give notes back and say, you know, okay, this is what you're thinking in this scene and this is what I want out of it, and go. And then give notes on what worked and what didn't work, or what fit with their vision and what didn't fit. And then I'd like the performance to be mostly live as well, sort of like this podcast, you know, with everyone recording their own side, but all getting to hear each other and act off each other. And yeah, so those are some things that I feel like are in a way missing from podfic, even though there's so many ways that podfic give, like, has wonderful things that are not available in theater. Those are some things that are in theater that I kind of wanted the chance to get to explore again in a fanish context, and that's what Theatropod is all about. Told you I could talk
for
15 minutes.
I, for one, am crazy excited about this. K-Town told me, like, they're doing this thing. I'm like, what? Give me the link right now. I need this in my life now or I will die. That's sort of excited. Well, I'm crazy excited for this.
Well, I'm glad. I was just going to say I'm excited too, although somewhat nervous, because as the mod, it's like, if it fails, it's on me. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be fine and wonderful.
Like, I saw all the posts go up about it, and I knew that they were looking for directors, and I did not really feel like being a director. So I was waiting for more to sort of feel my way through this. But your description of it makes me very excited about it.
Okay.
Because that sounds like something that I would like to participate in.
Cool. Well, I hope you do. I actually put in one other secret topic here. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's restraint versus expressiveness. I don't know what I'm... I'll try to explain what I'm trying to get at. But basically, the choice to sometimes really, like, act out something in detail and try to, like, put a lot of, like, emotion into it versus the choice to, like, sometimes throw stuff away and or be restrained with it. And underplay it. And I don't know. I do a lot of thinking about those choices because I feel like I'm always yo-yoing back and forth between being like, oh, my God, that person did an amazing job of not overplaying that. I want to do that and trying to do that. And then being like, wait, I have to pack every amount of emotion that I feel into this line, or what if people don't get it? And then going back to that. And I don't know, what's your relationship to, or what kind of thinking, if any, do you do about overplaying, underplaying amount of...
I generally am on the overplaying side of things, I think, because, once again, like, you don't have the body language and stuff to go with it, so, like, they're just reading things off of your voice, so, like, I generally try and put a little more into it so it comes off more, as opposed to... because they don't have the body language and the facial language to read off of that. So I think that I generally am on the overplaying side of that.
Honestly, I don't actually think about it all that much. As I said, I just, you know, sort of read it, and however it comes out is kind of, you know, how it comes out. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
In John Get the Last Word, there's all these places where it's like, I would totally have blown it in that moment. I would have like shown that one of the characters was super into it at that moment, or I would have like made it more, you know, scared or affectionate, or like layered in all this stuff that I would have been like, it's important that I express that. But then I felt like so much of the beauty of it was like the characters playing it cool, and not front loading everything into their voice. So you got to discover it more. And leaving it, like, there was a lot in there. It wasn't like you were monotone, but you weren't necessarily putting in there the emotions that they were feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually probably the one fic that I thought a lot about that specific thing. Like, what do I allow them to show? And I didn't think of it as an expressiveness versus restraint question. I thought of it more as, it's all text. You don't actually know what they're joking about and what they're not joking about. Like, the first time I read that fic, I didn't realize John was into it at all until right at the very end when he's like, wow, it's everywhere. And I was like, oh, wait, crud. You know, I've been reading this totally differently. So it was a very different, you know, do I allow the listener to, you know right at the beginning that he's into it, or do I let them discover, like I discovered, you mm-hmm. know, what happened? So a lot of that came out of the way that I read the fic to begin with. But yeah, that one specifically was one that I thought a lot about, how much emotion am I going to put into their voices. But I thought about it more as a character choice, like how much am I going to let the reader or the listener in on what's actually happening if they're mm-hmm. listening to it for the first time? I didn't really think of it as, you know, am I being restrained or am I being expressive? It was, you know, how much of this am I going to, you know, how would I read this? It was really, that was a really, really hard fic to, it was so fun, but it was super hard to make decisions about, because it's like, but what if this is the wrong decision?
Yeah.
Most of the time I don't think about it. Most of the time I just go, that one, you're right, that one I did think about.
We can return to the list now. I'm done with my secret categories.
Okay, so I think our next thing was voice acting versus podfic.
Oh.
I'm assuming that one's all you. I believe the only one among us with voice acting experience.
Oh, Dr. Fumble. Who said they had? I also have had voice acting experience.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
I have had no voice acting experience.
I have a bit of voice acting experience.
All right, well, y'all can talk about that.
I have feelings about voice acting versus podfic, because I feel like the small amount of voice acting that I've done, it's not very much, but it was a lot like the John Have the Last Word podfic. That was the most voice acting that I've done in a podfic, and I would say almost that is voice acting, that podfic. But most of the time you have a narrator, and the narrator isn't voice acting. The narrator is storytelling, or at least that's what it feels like to me. It's not, you know, the dialogue can be voice acting, but a lot of the time the way I approach it, you know, that just sort of, or the dialogue organically comes out of the narration. So it's very, I can't often stop and really think about, you know, how am I going to say this specific line of dialogue? And maybe other people do, like you guys were talking about dialogue a lot more. But I rarely stop and think, like in a longer fic that has, you know, narration and dialogue, I rarely stop to think, how would this very specific line come out, and how could I play this very specific line differently? Whereas when I do voice acting, every single you know, word of every line I think about. And I just don't do that with podfic because I have all the narration around it to sort of, I don't know, muddy things up a little bit. I don't know whether that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does. I would ask, what did you voice act? Like, what was it for?
I did a, somebody was doing a radio drama of a Neon Genesis Evangelion fic that I auditioned mm-hmm. for. And, so I got one of the minor characters in that. So okay. I did, and we only did like one episode. And so, you know, it didn't go anywhere after that, which I'm really sad about. Not that I'm sure how many episodes I would have been in, but, you know, but that would be my experience.
I think I did like a whole post on it, on what I did. My, what I did for was for, a video game. It was like, it wasn't like a plotty video game. It was like a Gundam battle online game. So there wasn't like a lot of plot to it, but things that I found, different with the voice acting, which I'm sure is different. And like in your case, it would have been different. The only lines that I had to work from were my lines. I didn't have like, the character that I was like, I was like, so the other person is like flying around in their Gundam suit and I am like the person who's monitoring them and I'm like, oh no, you've been shot down or anything. So it wasn't a storyline to work with in that case. Which is very interesting. Like, I wasn't familiar with the source material. Like, I knew nothing about the game. They're just like, here, this is what we want. And the people that I worked with, they gave us samples of the original, I think it was Korean audio files, and they wanted us to be as close to those voice actors as possible. So, it was more like imitating that sort of, thing that they were doing, which was also interesting to do because we had like the audio files and like the lines to work with, and we had to find a way to sort of translate the stereotype that like I was acting for a Western audience. Look at my, yeah, it was like the stuttering shy girl, and like as opposed to like they had like all these breathy pauses and stuff that we had to do. Another thing that was characterization, like I've talked about before, like I was only doing one character, so I stayed in character like the whole time. It wasn't like switching from one thing to another. It was also really interesting in that they had us record the line like 3 or 4 times, and it was slightly different each time because so that they could like choose from like the final product. And oftentimes I'll after doing that, because I do that in my podfic now too, because it's nice to have that to choose from. And
they did the choosing, not you.
Yeah, they do. They do all the choosing instead of me.
Did they tell you, it was, like, now do it this
way? It was
an
interesting experience.
You know, did they direct you in how your different choices were going to be?
I did not have a director there, so my experience was unique in that, so I'm on a shadow cast. My shadow cast director came to me, and she used to live in California and work with a small voice acting studio. And they were looking for some people and contacted her and she said, like, do you know anyone who would do this? So she chose me. I talked to the person once over the phone and sort of did a little bit of, like, what we were thinking. And he's like, yeah, that's good. I like that. So in the studio, there was, like, the person who was recording was just, like, a technician. We didn't have a director there, but we were – the direction that we got from it was that, like, the person that gave the small studio the project wanted us to very specifically mimic off of the audio files that we were given.
Right, but when you did the four takes or whatever, did you just choose 4 different ways, or did someone tell you?
We just chose, like, I put emphasis on a different part of the line or and stuff like that, so that it was slightly different, just so that there was that stuff to put together.
Okay.
So,
I did that. Just, like, I did that as well when I sent in my lines for this radio drama that I did, which I recorded all just at home on my mic. But I would send in 3 or 4 different line readings of that particular line and would just, I was just like, here. You know, you pick the one that you want.
Oh, that was something that was really nice, too. We were in a sound studio. I'm like, can I have a sound studio for my podcast recording?
Yes.
That would be amazing. I didn't have to worry about going. Yeah, because, like, there was someone listening, and they're like, wait, wait, like, record that. You went into the red and stuff like that. And I don't notice that when I'm recording by myself because my audio program says that. But I record on my iPad, and I also read off my iPad, so I am not seeing the recording as it happens. So I don't notice that sort of thing. I have to be, like, really aware of not speaking too loud and stuff like that, and sometimes I'll go back and there'll be something garbled or something because my microphone messed up, and I'll just have to go through and redo that whole thing, which, having a sound technician, super awesome. So.
Funny story about having to re-record. I recently, like, did a whole bunch of maintenance on my computer, and I had to reinstall everything. I reinstalled Audacity, only it was a different version of Audacity, I think. Like, it was a newer version than the one that I had before. And so it had my mic settings all different, and I recorded two whole podfics that I then listened to again, and I had to re-record them. And I think John had the last word might have been one of those.
Would you really
I had to re-record the entire thing because
funny.
It was just all in the red the entire time. It was really frustrating.
I hate re-recording.
I haven't done that, but I'll, like, I use Forvo as an app to, like, look up words. So, like, I'll pause my recording and, like, go look up that word to make sure I'm saying it correctly or something, and then I'll go back and click play and, like, or keep recording. And sometimes I don't, so I, like, recorded, like, 2 hours that, like, just wasn't recorded.
No.
And I'm like,
oh no!
No! Yeah. These are the worst stories. I had to re-record one fic, like, 3 times because I kept having tech difficulties, like, from beginning to end 3 times, and I still have a lot of feelings about that. They're very sad feelings. Even though I love that podfic. That's, like, the only idle podfic I still like of mine, but it's sad. So my thoughts about having someone read opposite you are just that it's really interesting to play off someone when you have gotten in the habit of playing off of yourself and, like, mm-hmm. have someone throw something at you that's unexpected. And it's often a lot of fun. I co-recorded with Shining Artifact, a friend of mine, and what was interesting about that was just her character. Like, it was so funny, the line reading she was doing, and I felt like I was so impressed with what she was doing that it made me, like, up my game a little bit, and I really liked that. I had a sort of spontaneous co-recording with Bessie Boo over Haytel, where we, like, co-recorded this, like, leaning towards phone sex little, like, 5-minute piece between Chris Allen and Jim Cantiello. And that was really, it was just really exciting to be acting out just one side of it rather than be doing both, especially because it was Haytel, so it was like I was getting a message on my phone that was like, and it sounded like, you know, coming through a phone, that was exactly what Chris would have been doing. So I almost got to act it out a little bit more rather than just do the voice part. And it was like props, because my phone was like a prop. So it's fun acting off someone. But then it can also, and it can, I think, push me to do better sometimes. And it can push me to just go places I wouldn't necessarily expect, because if I get something unexpected, then I can do something with that and react to that in a way that feels authentic and takes me somewhere new, which obviously is kind of a theme of this podcast, something that I'm interested in, things that push me to something new. Sort of the tension between, on the one hand, control and the amount that I enjoy controlling all those parts of the process and getting to express everything through controlling all those parts, and balanced on the other side with the extent that I like being surprised and being pushed, and the spontaneity of having other people involved in the process. And
yeah, I agree with that. I love collaborating with people. It's fun, and it does push you and give you someone to act off of who's not yourself. And I say, like, it helps me get into character more, because of that. There's someone to act back and forth with. So.
See, I've only ever read opposite people who I know in real life who are not podfickers, so that's an interesting experience because they, you know, they haven't done this before, so it's kind of a, well, this is how you do it, and then they're making their first podcast, podfic, right alongside, you know, me being the experienced one, and it's interesting as an experience. And mm-hmm. so, like, I've never had that experience of podficking with somebody who, you know, they have just as much passion for this as you do.
Yeah, we gotta get on that. Oh, but the flip side of acting off somebody, of course, I wouldn't want to do it every time, and I would never want to give up the control of having a lot of stories that are just me, because I've also had times when I acted off against someone, and I had feelings about the story or about the dynamic of a relationship between the two characters or something, and they didn't have the same feelings. And maybe if we had discussed it beforehand, we would have, you know, that would have changed things. But it turned out that, like, I wasn't able to really express everything I wanted to about the story, because I only got to show what one of the characters was doing, and I was limited in what I could show about that one character because they had to respond to the other one. So it was sort of like a surprising loss of control. Like, wait, but I think this is what's going on here, but suddenly when I'm acting it off this person, this whole other thing is going on. And I love this other thing, but I still haven't had a chance to show my first thing. So it becomes a sort of tension. And that's my other side of that thought, which is why when I did come to that one Kurt Blaine podfic that I really liked, against all, like, advice, I was like, no, I am recording both sides of this conversation because I have really strong feelings about what's happening for both of these characters, and I don't care if nobody else listens to it or is able to understand it. I want to get down, like, in audio, preserved for all time, my feelings right now about both of these characters without anybody else's feelings being part of this. And so I did. So I've been ending, well, we ended the last one and some of the ones last year with going around and giving final thoughts. Does anybody have final thoughts about acting and podfic that they want to close us off on?
I think my final thoughts are that podficking, at least for me, it definitely is acting of some sort, and that I really enjoy doing it that way. I don't know. I think that's it.
I would say that podficking is a form of acting, and it's a really interesting, different sort of acting. And that if you like acting and such things, like, podficking is something you might want to look into because it's different and it tests different parts of you than, like, traditional theater acting, and it's really fun and really stretches those different muscles. And even if you, just as an exercise for that sort of thing, I think that if I do some acting on the side, I think doing podficking has made me a stronger theater actor and a stronger in other aspects because of the different focus of podfic, and I find that really interesting.
Yeah, and I think my final thoughts are very similar, that podfic, for me, it has met the need for having acting back in my life, which was just sort of a hole in my life for, I'm trying to count, like 6 or 7 years, that there was nothing that was able to fill it, and podfic has been able to fill that. But it's not just substituting in for theater acting, because there's all these opportunities that podfic gives you that we've discussed about, like the opportunity to listen back and really delve into and explore your own performance. Because it is recorded, and not only is it recorded, but you are going to be spending a lot of time with it in editing, and the opportunity to choose your own story, to choose your own role, to express yourself as all the roles and not be confined to one, and to have complete control over the performance and how that story is going to be expressed in every aspect of it. Even though there's ways that I'd like for podfic to expand to maybe hit some of the parts of acting that it doesn't. And it's interesting now that you're saying that about the improv duck. I actually have a couple of friends who have been doing some Haytel role playing with their voices, and so it's kind of bringing improv back into it too. Improv, like, really tied closely into Podfic. Even though there's lots of ways, like Theatropod and like various types of voice role playing and all sorts of other experimental forms that I would love to see explored more, I think that it's really versatile and it meets a lot of the same needs and has a lot of the same advantages and the same opportunities for artistic expression that acting does, plus some more. And if I'm not mistaken, that is the end of our podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. It's been Dr. Fumble McStupid.
Thanks. From Opal Song.
And KLB.